Scoochie Boochies! Hello, everyone, and welcome to View. Bless you. A podcast miniseries exploring the films of Kevin Smith and all things View Askew Universe.
Now, here are some rough drafts for the name of this miniseries.
Hit 'em with it!
Knocking on Kevin's door. Askew it. We're just going to talk about Kevin Smith.
Fuck!
I thought of that one in the shower today. And here's the thing. Our last podcast was also a take on a popular podcast. And I think it's nice to maybe not play in that pool every time.
Exactly. Will we reference it in every episode? Yes, of course. But
will we steal segments whole cloth from a bunch of popular podcasts? Yes, every episode. But
oh yeah,
the title, come on. You can't, with such gold as, let's repeat that title. Go ahead, JZT.
View.
Askew.
Bless you.
I mean, come on, guys.
Come on. You know we had to settle on it. There was no other choice.
And now, so yeah, as I alluded to briefly there, maybe JZT said outright. By the way, he's JZT.
That's right. I'm JZT. I'm one of the co-hosts of this fucking bang-ass podcast.
And I'm Fesh. Hi, how are ya? Now, a joke I was going to try to organically tee up, but realize it's too difficult to guarantee. Oh. So I'm just going to ask you, JZT, how many movies we're going to be covering on the main track of this.
On this new podcast we're venturing into, this journey that begins right now, I just gotta know, and I think the listeners gotta know too, how many movies are we gonna cover?
10, 11, now I'm realizing I needed you to answer. JZT, I'm gonna ask you, answer, okay?
Okay, all right.
The answer is, let's say 14.
14, gotcha.
JZT, how many are we gonna cover?
We're 14.
In a row? Now that's a reference to Clerks.
Yes. 14 in a row? That's a reference to the first movie we will be covering on this podcast, Clerks.
Yeah, so View Askew Productions. I don't know if we said that. Kevin, the film's Kevin Smith, yeah. Now, again, I said the main track because we might take some little sideverts with some adjacent stuff and some.
That's right. In addition to writing and directing films, he acted in things. He wrote comic books. He. Oh, Lord Almighty, did he dabble into podcasts?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm ready to get into it. Can I say another thing I was going to say? Clerks, a.k.a. Podcast the Movie. Like.
That's right.
The central take of my whole thing on Kevin Smith is like, this is the beginning of podcast culture right here, man.
Absolutely. And we will dive into that. But first, one or two things. I think let's frame it a little bit.
Okay.
What kind of podcast is this? The listener might be wondering. The host might even be wondering. Is it a movie podcast? Yeah, it's a movie podcast every week.
The host might be wondering.
The hosts are wondering. We've done so much prep for this. We're so ready. This is a scripted podcast. We are reading our lines right now.
It's certainly not the product of like four texts sent back very casually after, you know, a year of not podcasting.
That's right. And those texts may or may not have been, hey, would you wanna? I don't know. Pause. Yeah, okay. All right. I bought the DVDs. Okay, we're doing it. Hooray!
I mean, there's more to it than that, and I would love to dig into it. And we will dig into it.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
But, so it's a movie podcast. Is that what you're saying?
It's a movie podcast. Well, you know, yes, it is, on one hand, it is a movie podcast. It is specifically a director filmography podcast. We will be covering one director's filmography, by and large. But it's also, this is a then, now, forever pod. We are two people, and I think in would you agree, Fetch? We are two people.
Yes, but we share a heart.
We share a heart, yes.
And that is a thread that we will be following along the way, I feel, as well.
And I think the big overarching theme we'll probably dive into, which I assume will happen, is we are going to explore what these films meant to us then, what they mean to us now, and what they mean to us forever. Because I know for my, certainly, and this will get into this, I'm sure, I began watching these films with Kevin Smith when I was 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
As of time of recording, I am 26 years old.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, what? That's what's on my listings online? Surely.
That's what's on your Raya profile?
You know it.
Jay-Z keeps trying to get those women who are 7 years younger than him.
That's right.
You know what's good about dating 26-year-olds? You get older, they say the
same. They say the same. It doesn't count dating a 26-year-old if you don't tell them you're also 26. They treat you differently when they think you're appropriately older than them. I don't want them thinking I know what I'm doing with my finances. If they find out I'm 33, they go, wait a minute, let me see your credit score. And I go, fuck! And they go, this is wait, okay, but should be better.
Your credit score is too good for the 26. That's,
my credit score is good, but not as good as it should be.
Which is the tell that you're 32, 33.
That's right, that's right.
33? You're 33 right now, right?
I'm 33 now, yes. Yeah. And Fesh, how old are you?
I'm 32 for a couple more weeks, everybody. Coming up! Maybe by the time of release, it could be 33. I don't know. Well, I don't know when this is coming out.
I was thinking we'd have a 2 or 3 week lead time, just to be safe.
Well, either way, my birthday's in like 2 or 3 weeks, so I don't know. I don't know how old I am when these guys are listening, but it's in that
podcast. Wowie fucking Zowie. Which is, again, another point, because, again, it's a forever podcast. You can listen to this podcast forever.
It's one of those few forever podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember watching Conan a million years ago, and somebody, I don't remember what movie, but they were telling that the hook was, it self-destructs. The DVD will stop working after a certain point. I wish I had any more information for you, but I just remember that on Conan and just being like...
And now, was this a bit or was this true? Was this
no,
really
it was during
a
full interview. Don't know why.
Oh, wow. Shout out to Conan O'Brien. Conan, you were alive in the 90s. If you want to be a guest on this podcast, hit us up on social media.
Hit us up on social media. Are either of us available on social media at this point? Instagram.
Yeah, that one will stick around.
Will Twitter exist by the time this drops? Is it already called something else? Yes.
Exactly. What is going on with X.com? Not a concern for us. What we're concerned with on this pod is X.
Clerks X is what they re-released it under for like the 10th anniversary, right? Or there was like a Clerks
that's
X
right.
DVD.
That's yeah, what yeah. I was going for.
So my relationship is, I think, a little pretty different from yours, which is this was all stuff I saw over the shoulder that my brother was into that I wasn't as much into. But I have in the last 2 weeks been like, oh, wait, I'm all in now. This is now is my favorite thing. No, but you know me. I love a project. I love going, let me dig in. And
that's right.
Yes, this is a good, healthy number, and they're easy movies to watch. And so I said one night, we were texting. I forget why, but we were talking. We just asked each other our rankings for Smith movies. And I put Dogma at a hesitant one, but I'd have to rewatch it because I haven't in, 20 years or whatever.
Yes.
And I threw it on in the middle of the night at work one night, and I was like, JZT, I like Dogma.
Hey.
And then it snowballed from there. I said, well, let me just keep watching.
Ooh, and Snowball, another US Universe reference.
Oh, I didn't mean it to be. Wait, what did I say?
Snowball. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't mean it. That's funny.
So Fesh, after watching Dogma, came in someone's mouth, and then that person spit
it snowballed
into his
mouth.
There. And yes. Wow, what a fun job you have, where that's just allowed to happen in the break room.
But yeah, I'm a certified View Universe ho now, and Snooshibushis and Snoogans, and it's great. And again, we will dig in way more. And it's one of the it's Three Stooges syndrome for me over here. I have too much to say. It can't all come out at once. It's, I don't know where to begin.
That's right. Well, I think we'll launch in soon, but I just want to frame it a little bit, which is that, yes, I mentioned seventh or eighth grade, started watching the movies of Kevin Smith, and very quickly I was like, yes, my guy. Now also around this time, I'm watching Quentin Tarantino movies for the first time, being like, this is my guy. Mm-hmm. I intend to watch Robert Rodriguez movies and never get around to it, really.
Okay.
I think I watch, that's about it. Yeah. I'm
like
a child. You know.
Guys who like movies.
Yes.
You're like, this guy's thing is that he also likes movies.
Yes. And I think, too, at this point, so I'm doing like middle school theater. I've done like after school theater and I'm like acting and perform. But now, this guy, Kevin Smith, I'm like, whoa, maybe writer director is what I'd like to do. That could be cool. And then making indie movies, like, whoa, this guy did it himself. How cool. I'm only 2 years removed from being into punk rock music. I think that's cool as hell. I love the Ramones, you know?
Yeah.
I try to listen to Sonic Youth and I think, these songs are too long. How is this punk rock at all? I listen to Iggy and the Stooges and go, it's not fast enough.
Right. It sounds like a cruise commercial.
That's
these are songs played in cruise commercials for Carnival. You're
telling me this is punk rock? This is the music that my goddamn
that, like Devo was sort of punk. I was like, huh? The Disney band?
Yes.
What? Like they're a Disney band. What are you talking about? Took us a long time to realize it's not all Trey Cools and Mike DeLongs.
No, 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 yes. Punk is an attitude, baby.
Hey, by the way, just to date this podcast a little bit, aliens are real, according to the government as of yesterday. It's pretty
That's
wild.
Right.
Anyway, on to our Clerks podcast.
Mm-hmm, yep. And I also want to just say, playing in speech and debate class with my friend Chris Rodriguez, we did a game of MASH, because boys play MASH too. Yeah, that's right. And I wanted to be a director because I thought Kevin Smith was cool.
Mm.
And so, man, I ended up with MASH and cool. So, and
but you
yes,
got director,
quickly.
You got director when you played MASH?
Yes.
And what
and
house?
I think I lived in Hawaii.
Live?
Oh, my God. A really cool mansion.
And how many kids did you have?
Two.
And who were you married to?
Christina Aguilera.
Wow. You really won the MASH lottery here,
dude. Won the MASH. Of course, I wanted to marry Carmen Electra, but, you know, Christina, I think, is a better choice in the long run, you know? She's had a more sustainable career, and as someone who doesn't have too much going for themselves, more money to coast off of. They're both beautiful women, obviously, and very talented
both
in their
probably
fields.
Probably have a good amount of money. And,
Yes. Fuck, wouldn't it be surprising to find out Christina Aguilera, Carmen Electra had more money?
It would be a little surprising, not to be.
The streaming Red Jewels haven't, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Christina got in at the right time, you know, just before Napster killed.
Now, are they both available to play as in the Celebrity Deathmatch PlayStation and PlayStation 2 video game? I know Carmen Electra is.
Oh, we will be looking that up.
I think Christina might have been a little bit of a too big of a star to make that cut with those rights, to get the rights to Christina Aguilera. But it is the right era.
Okay, Celebrity Deathmatch video game on the PlayStation 2.
Yeah,
playable
one and
character.
Two.
Okay, I'm seeing Ron Jeremy was. Mm-hmm. Shannon Doherty.
Shannon Doherty
Lee.
Was?
Yeah.
I wonder what that move set looked like, huh?
Oh, amazing. Okay, let's see. Do you want to guess any others, Fesh?
I know some of them. I think I know a good percentage of them, quite honestly. NSYNC, Carrot Top. I want
That's
to
right.
Say, is it? It's Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes. Yes, Busta Rhymes.
Yeah. Jerry Springer.
Yes.
Okay, that might be what I know for sure. Tell me how many I'm missing.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Now, are these
five,
just celebrities,
six,
or these are like
seven.
Are these? These celebrities are these like, oh, the announcers are playable characters or
these are celeb. There are some unlockable characters, but yeah. There's at least seven celebrities.
I'm missing seven.
You're missing seven.
Holy
shit.
All right.
I'm sorry, folks, but this is dire urgent. This is, we gotta play our first little game.
Yes, it's a podcast. Because, all right, so give me the domains. Don't just like television star or movie star or musician or
This is broadly, we will call her a model slash later on reality.
The most downloaded woman, Margulies. What's her first name?
That's Cindy Margulies, who actually wasn't who I was teeing you up for, but she is a playable character. That's one.
So there's another actress slash model.
That's right.
Hmm. Is she in any movies?
Yeah, in like kind of sad cameo roles, I think.
Yeah.
Someone who life ended up tragically.
Oh, Anna Nicole Smith.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, who else? Who else? I got two, so we're down to five more to go, right?
Yes, that's two. Okay, number three. This person, good hair. Hoops, basketball player.
Wait, would you say bear at first?
He plays hoops, good hair. He has...
Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. That's right. Ding, ding, ding. Number three.
I'm noticing a trend here that everyone in this is kind of sad, but go ahead.
Yeah. Then I'll just throw these out. Frankenstein and Gladiator, Nick Diamond. Those are not count. Okay, continuing the sad theme, although more in a troubled
person. For the record,
person.
I did know Frankenstein was in it, and I believe Wolfman is as well. And I believe Wolfman is.
I wouldn't know how to T-Fesh up. I couldn't T-Fesh up for those. I'm not an aficionado in the celebrity deathmatch video game like my co-host. And that's okay. I'm working on it. I'm doing the work outside of this podcast. Uh-huh. Okay, number four. A sad life, potentially.
Andy Dick.
This guy, more of a bad guy. Good ghost. Bad man, musician.
Bad man, musician.
Which also tees up another one. Yes, that's right. Marilyn Manson's who I was going for. Number four. Number five. Also a bad man. Also a musician. Also has a lot of tattoos.
Oh. Rock? Rap?
He started his career in rock, heavy metal, and had a really wonderful new metal side project in the 2000s that I think was a big influence on Death Grips, which is one of my interesting music opinions.
Well, now I'm afraid because like no bad man is bringing it to mind, and I don't want to guess somebody and they're not actually a bad man.
Yes. How about this, Fesh? One last clue.
Yeah.
A very famous sex tape he partook.
Okay, so I was right. That's who I thought. Okay, Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee. And then, this man is just famous. He was an actor. And he also was in the first WrestleMania.
I'll get to that in a second because I just want to go back. Andy Dick's not in this game, but doesn't it seem like with who we're listing here that Andy Dick would be in this game?
Oh, yeah. Andy Dick is prime time candidate for this game.
Yeah. Now, going back to it, sorry. What was it? I heard the first WrestleMania thing. What was the domain?
Actor, a celebrity, and he appeared in the first WrestleMania and was on a sitcom, television too. A famous haircut he has.
A famous what?
A haircut.
Oh, Mr. T.
Mr. T.
I pity the fool.
Last but not least, but definitely possibly the hardest one to guess.
But it is a celebrity.
Yes. Very much of her time and era.
Oh.
It's a female woman. She's she died in 2016 at the age of 53, RIP, in Palm Beach, Florida. She will be missed. She was a spokesman.
I mean, does it sum a podcast up any more than somebody saying she died and the other one is just giggling the whole time? She died. Rest in peace. We love her.
We love her. She survived by two children, I guess. Assuming
she's an actor. Actor, musician.
She is presenter. A television personality, a presenter, yes.
She's dead. In 2002 would have been her era. Can I ask what channel she's mostly associated with?
She is most associated with it's of course the Psychic Readers Network.
Oh, Miss Cleo, we love Miss Cleo.
We love Miss Cleo.
I forgot about Miss Cleo being in that game.
I know, right?
Well, Now, here's the thing, folks. That was at a completely random side tangent. Of course. Were we trying to get back into the groove of podcasting? Because, as I said, it's been about a year. Probably longer, even, I feel like. Maybe we did something in January, I think. But
yes,
it's been a while. But also, I alluded to it earlier, Clerks is about guys talking about pop culture, and believe it or not, that was revolutionary at the time.
Yes!
I know it's the last thing you want now, but that's what was good about it at the time.
A movie that was light on plot, heavy on dudes riffing, talking the way guys talk. It was a game changer!
Okay, again, this is a fresh start. I'm going to try to not be as much of an old man yelling at a cloud on this one, but cricket. Star Wars used to be hard to see.
Yes.
You had to know someone who owned it or own it yourself. They did not play in the theaters often, and you could not just say, hey, TV, play Star Wars, and then it would.
Mm-hmm.
It knowing about Star Wars had cachet in at least a certain subculture. Like, it was well known. Everybody knew about it. But, like, to say that one of the Ewoks' name was Wicket, that was an obscure fact that I couldn't just drum up as someone who's only seen that movie one time, but has walked by toy shelves before, you know?
Yes.
So to discuss Star Wars was a choice, not a base lazy decision.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if this is condescending, but I just really, again, I have a, my wife did not step into the United States of America until 2018. So she has a very different perspective on a lot of things than I do. So I do a lot of mansplaining of how things were. And that's one of those things that's hard to grapple with, that this stuff felt new. And
it felt
interesting.
New.
And cool.
And two, you
know,
there
were no prequels. There hadn't been a movie from Star Wars in a decade.
It was, what, 5 years away? Maybe not even in development yet, the new Star Wars?
Yeah. I don't think it had been announced yet.
It probably hadn't been announced. Can you believe that, folks?
Whereas we get an announcement for a new Star Wars project every 40 seconds over here.
Every 40 fucking seconds, there's a new Star Wars coming out for our viewing entertainment.
And we love them, folks. Don't we love them?
I'm
wearing a Star Wars t-shirt.
Fesh
right
is wearing a Star Wars shirt. I'm just gushing with enthusiasm for the property at large. Mm-hmm. And everyone can tell I'm very vocally obsessed with Star Wars. It's my life.
But yeah, these losers who loved that shit were actually losers at the time, not just anybody you saw.
And
what's the example? People use fucking Rivers Cuomo wore a Star Wars shirt in a music video, and it was like coded. Like the idea was like, now a Star Wars shirt is like wearing a gray ash. It's just an ash shirt with nothing on it, right?
Yes.
You don't even see a Star Wars shirt anymore. But then it meant something, good, bad, or otherwise. It was something.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to say here, folks.
Nailed it, Fesh.
Thank you. I mean, come on, man.
And two, you know, so a big thing, Ken Smith. In indie cinema, it's still in its infancy. You know, the Sundance Music Festival is not a thing. The Sundance Film Festival, oh baby. Started off Robert Redford, you know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Heard of him? Heard of that movie?
I had. Is that him?
Yes, he started the festival and named it Sundance after the movie. And it started off small. It was very low key. And then by the late 80s to 90s, I think, you know, independent film, it sort of became the mecca for independent film. People were making small budget movies on their own outside of a studio system, and they would take them to Sundance,
which, again,
and they would sell them.
Had cachet. You couldn't just flip out your fucking phone and just have the content made and edited in 2 seconds and post it and get feedback in 5. Ooh, I'm boiling over with rage, JCD.
Yeah, Fesh is raging, everybody. Watch out. And, go ahead, Fesh.
No, just it was harder to sling tent. It's still hard to make a movie now. I'm not trying to say it's easy to make a movie, but I feel people's relationship to movies has lessened because there's so many other forms of immediately accessible, digestible, and forgettable content that I guess I'm being defensive preemptively about this movie. This is not my favorite by any means.
Okay, yeah, no.
But I liked it a lot more this time than I did when I watched it on The Secret Stash. Do you recall The Secret Stash?
Please let our listeners know what The Secret Stash is.
I don't know when it started, but Comedy Central on Saturday nights at 2 a.m. would air movies uncut and uncensored, except for the nudity. We have to censor the nudity, but they can say whatever they want. And this was, even though I wasn't enjoying the movies, I was like, I'm getting away with something here. And not all of them. There were some movies I enjoyed, but it was just like, I got to see how far they can take it. And, this one says pretty much all the words. This movie.
Oh, yeah.
Says a lot of the words.
A lot of motherfuckers.
They throw a C every now and again. Now, it's not used in a way, it's not calling somebody the C, but it's used.
It is used. The C word is in this movie.
But anyway, I'm being defensive about it because, this whole thing is, this whole exercise, I feel a little defensive about because I'm always on the defense against snobs. There's a lot of snobs out there who don't like stuff that I like, and I get defensive about it, quite frankly. And I think I'm doubling down on my defense because I was a snob about these movies for so long. Hey, and I regret it. I could have been enjoying these for so much longer.
And this is just one of the many revolutions we will come to in this journey, this podcast of self-discovery.
I think where it came from was one day I texted you, did you know there's a Clerks 3 in theaters right now?
That's right. I did not know.
Yeah. And I was like, how does that happen? And here's the thing. I think Kevin, is way less of a celebrity than I ever thought. I'm just like realizing now, I'm like, oh, that's a guy who's like 3 degrees of separation from us. But like, and he seems also, it seems like a completely affable, chill, cool guy.
Yeah.
But like, I just felt like coming from my Midwestern mentality of like, he's a guy whose movies played in theaters and on TV. He's a billionaire. And now actually investigating the work, it's like, well, he's friends with people who are
a lot of money.
And that he's living the dream. Like, I'm still very envious of him, but he's not, again, to date the pod, month 4 of the writer's strike, month
that's
one
right
and a
yeah.
half of the actor's strike, and it's like it cannot be oversold how many people in the world, or at least in this country, think if you're on TV, that means you are set
yes.
for life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I very much, I haven't thought that way in quite some time, but I very much come from that way of thinking. And having not really dug into the work, when I did sit down and watch Tusk and Yoga Hosers, my initial attitude, and maybe this is fair still, and maybe some people still think this, but it was like, whoa, he fell off way hard, didn't he? And then I go back and watch everything that I thought was the peak, and I'm like, yeah, it's still roughly the same tenor. And the same thing with like John Waters. Like, John Waters never made a blockbuster, never was the intent, right? Like, and so you watch his later stuff or his mid-era stuff or his other stuff, it's all of a certain budget, and you know,
that's right.
So yeah,
and two, you know, I think it's also just so, again, and you know, it was a time where all of a sudden it's like, again, you know, the studio system had been like the way movies are made and budgets, you know, and all of a sudden there was this like emphasis on like, what, you know, whoa, this movie was different. And like, not just are they like look a little cheaper or like more shoddy at times, but it was like, hey, these are experimental structurally. They're not just like an A story, and some of these are, you know, not one overarching narrative or like different right. characters going all around, you know, and truly bringing in like foreign film influences, like French right. New Wave or, you know, many things, you know, and that's too, you know, big thing is we got to, Fesh, tell them about Kevin Smith. What was going on in Kevin Smith's life before he made Clerks?
Fucking no.
You don't know.
I know as much as other podcasts have told me, which I'll briefly summarize. But he was just a guy working at a movie theater, or working at a video store, and you know, allegedly to get the funding for this bad boy, he lied to creditors and pretended to be his boss and said how much he made to get a bunch of credit cards. And
that's right. And he's raised, according to Wikipedia, $20,000, 27,575. Pretty cool, huh?
And here's the thing. It's always, even though I don't like really have, I think this is partially why I'm falling more in love with these movies lately, but I don't really have any ambitions right now. Not really. I feel like it's too late for me, and I fucked up everything. But I've always thought when the world wasn't ahead of me and was in front of me and opportunities were opening up, I've always thought the notion of like, what good is being rich if you aren't using it to create? You know, mm-hmm. It's like get your house, get your stuff, like
to create more wealth or for your investments in wealth.
Well, now wait a minute. I know he's talking to Jordan, what's his name, from Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, I'm Jordan from Wolf of Wall Street.
You're Jordan from Wolf of Wall Street.
That's right, folks. If you're trying to figure out what identities, what personalities are these two podcast hosts, I'm the Jordan from Wolf of Wall Street of the podcast.
Right. We're not going to do he's Jay and I'm Silent Bob. We're not going to do I'm Dante, he's Randall. No. He's Jordan from Wolf of Wall Street.
I'm Jordan from Wolf of Wall Street.
And I'm blank slates right now. We'll discuss. Covered along the way.
That's right.
But anyway, yeah, because my initial thought when I hear that, because of where my head's at lately, is, oh man, I would love just to have, what was it, $200,000? Yeah, I'll just take that. Let's end the story there. But no, realistically, if I had that, I would want to use it to funnel and create something. And that's I respect the hell out of the fact that the guy did it. God
yes.
Damn it. And is he the only one to do it? No.
No.
But he is. I mean, again, more background. Like, I was never a Star Wars guy, but I was wearing X-Men shirts to gym class in seventh grade and on. You know, I was a big comic book dork. I love pop culture, and obviously still do, and I'm still a dork. But like, I don't know. There's something about his steeze of enthusiasm that I'm not always in line with what the variable is, but like, I have it the same way. Like, he seems like the kind of person who's like, I never actually watched wrestling, man, but I love X, Y, and Z about it. And I'm like, yes, exactly. And we could mm-hmm. vibe that way. I remember, yeah, you mentioned his comic books. I remember reading Green Arrow Quiver and enjoying it because it was like, ooh, this is a little racy, a little dark. And then finding out he wrote it, I was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool, man.
Yes. I gotta check that. He's written Daredevil, too.
Of course.
And there's a Clerks comic books, which I had a copy of at one point.
Yeah.
Very fun. So, yeah, Clerks, you know, and then, yeah, premiered at Sundance, became a thing. And, it's just like, people saw themselves in it too, and I exactly. think more than anything, there was this the same way like punk rock. There's this aspirational quality of like, yeah. this is not that hard. Like, I could figure this out and do
exactly.
this. I've always dreamed of this.
One
but it
of
seemed
the
impossible.
Most charming things on this rewatch was all of the extras in this movie, or mm-hmm. featured extras, anybody with only like a handful of lines is beaming to be on camera.
Yeah.
Like in an Ed Wood kind of way where it's like, hey, we need you. Can you come here right now and say this line? Like, and I was charmed the pants off of me.
I'll say this though, before you touched on the writer's strike and the way Hollywood has changed, and there's nothing more sad than, and it's an independent movie and it costs $30,000, which is not enough to make an independent movie today.
Yeah,
and
exactly. Yeah.
To make an independent movie today, all you have to do is find a production company with $8 million and attach someone from a Marvel movie who.
Yep. Well, so this is the other thing, we'll hit on this plenty throughout this thing, but like the fact that this guy, Kevin Smith, has not been given any superhero property. It doesn't have to be a Marvel movie. It doesn't have to be an MCU movie. Like, any actual super... Maybe he doesn't want to. I don't know. But, like, it seems like with the trend being ever since, like, 2010, that, like, the characters in this stuff are, like, fanboys now, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that you would think the guy who made that... Maybe not solely responsible, but, like, a big part of mainstreaming that would be, he's written for comic books, he likes comic books, he directs movies, like, he's friends with Ben Affleck, like, why is this not happening? You know? I don't know.
And we will...
Let's put that, that's one track. We'll further investigate that.
I have my theories. But yes, cool. We'll get into it. So, I think it's time to dive into the movie, Fesh.
Alright. What a cool, I don't know, cool movie. It's not, again, not my favorite, but, like, it's all here.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's interesting,
it's all
too. Yeah, this is one I did watch in... I got the DVD in middle school, and I did watch one. I think I had definitely started with probably Chasing Amy and then Mallrats, is my guess. Or
that's an interesting way to get it. Yeah.
And because I think just the Chasing Amy cover, DVD cover at Hollywood Video allured me. It's like, ooh. Something about
what's her name? Joey.
Joey Lauren Adams.
Very pretty woman.
Very pretty
and
woman.
Her face takes up a good percentage of that cover.
And there's something just mysterious enough, like, hey, is she Amy? Where are they chasing her? Where's Amy going? Are they gonna catch her? I gotta find out.
I can't just read the back of the box. I gotta watch this movie.
I'm like Elaine Dennis going, don't you want to find out how they got in the sack? How did they get in the sack lunch? And so then I think, again, it was a movie where it's like, okay, I like the idea of this more than the actual movie itself. But
okay,
so this was actually, I think, only the second time I've seen Clerks.
Yeah, same. Give me one second. My cat is going insane trying to get into this room, and it might just be easier to let him.
Oh, that's wonderful news, because I would love to move my fan right closer to me, so I'm not...
Sounds good. I think I might move too, so he doesn't fuck up all my cords. All
right.
Editor note, editing note, maybe or
editing
not, whatever
note,
you
maybe
want to do.
Yeah. Or
I got to deal with this. All right. Give me
a second. You deal with that, and JZT is gonna riff, folks. It's JZT, one half of this podcast you're listening to, and I just want to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this wonderful, wonderful podcast we're launching into, Celsius Energy. There was a lawsuit in February. If you drank Celsius Energy before then, you might be entitled to $250. But you also might get it now. Folks, I highly suggest you start drinking Celsius Energy and see if you can get in on that sweet, sweet class action lawsuit. I myself have been buying Celsius Energy for a couple months now. A girl I briefly dated told me about it, recommended I try it sometime. I then went to a Costco, which she lived nearby, and bought a big old case of Celsius Energy, and I like it. It's an energy drink, but it's for girlies. It's targeted towards yoga influencers, women who would not be caught dead drinking a Monster Energy or a Red Bull.
Snobbery.
They're tired and need
some energy. Back to talking
energy
about snobbery.
That's right.
Can't be dare be seen drinking that. My wife drinks Celsius as well. What'd you say about a lawsuit?
Oh, I just found this out a week ago. There is a class action lawsuit because they lied about their ingredients. It's apparently preservatives. They, I guess, like citrus juice counts as a preservative. They said there were no preservatives. So $250.
I wonder if I can get a check for 40 cents for buying my wife a bunch of it back in the... Oh, these settlements are small, folks. And I want more money than I have. I'm like Jordan from Wolf of Wall Street.
Hey! Oh my God, we're both Jordan from Wolf of Wall Street. How crazy. We're just two Jordans.
We're having a good time. Having a good time. We're just two Jordans and we're having a good time. I'm really back. I know the blisters won't care. Do you care? Is this okay? Can we?
Hell yeah.
That's great. Okay. Oh, this fucking cat's still fucking tearing up all my fucking cords. Fucking freak. I love him, but fuck. Come on, dude. I'm trying to pod.
Fuck, dude.
Dude.
Not now, dude. I'm trying to pod. Dude.
Where were we? I feel like I fully interrupted a thought.
We were just sort of launching into the movie.
Yes, you saw it, Chasing Amy.
Mallrats I loved in high school. Yeah. And
Mallrats was the first one I was aware of because my who later became my English teacher, but my brother's English teacher at the time, recommended it to my brother high school. My parents were scandalized by this.
They found out?
Well, not found, my brother was just telling them, like, hey, can I rent this? My teacher said I would like it. They're very prudish people, but they're not, like, letter writers. They're not, like, protesters. They're just like, well, I don't like that, you know. So I it had a myth-making to it already before I even watched it, like, 5 years later. And then when I did watch it, I was like, huh, it's pretty weird that guy recommended that to my brother, but he wasn't wrong.
No.
My English teacher recommended me the movie Something New, which was about, it's kind of just a romantic drama about interracial dating. And she was picking up on something. Big old crush on Davisha McIntyre my senior year of high school. And the teacher picked up on that.
Hey. This is the film from 2006 starring Simon Baker, the mentalist himself.
Yep.
And Sana Lathan?
Sanaa Lathan, yes.
Sanaa. Oh. Okay, all right. Folks, you got to check it out.
It's so Clerks. Fine. Yeah. It's fine.
And speaking of movies that are fine, Clerks.
Well, I guess now on a rewatch. Yeah, but I think it's also a rubber band effect that I'm feeling where I'm like, yeah, that's all trash. That sucks. Then I watch it. Like, oh, this is good. Actually, never mind.
I think I just got fresh. I think I got to lay out some hot takes first or some context.
Yeah.
These guys, Randall and Dante, they're bad dudes.
Sure.
But I think this is also the theme I'm taking away from this movie on this watch, now that I'm 33 or 26 on Raya.
Mm-hmm.
22-year-olds are the worst.
Right.
They're bad.
And I think had I not watched ahead to Clerks 2, which I've still yet to see Clerks 3, but I watched ahead of Clerks 2 and was like, oh, so I like these guys now. They're still bad guys, but yes. I can relate to them more because they're 32 in that movie.
Yes.
And so that helped me carry me through to this one.
Yes, totally. Oh, and I want to say too, I saw Clerks 2 in theaters, haven't seen it since. Yeah. Did really like maybe had high expectation, wasn't totally met, but like ultimately liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And, but we'll get that then.
Well, so I think another thing that's important is that's probably what rubbed me the wrong way the first times I tried to venture into the Viewist universe. But if since come to, you know, learn that's like just because something's in a movie doesn't mean it's being celebrated. Evicted, not endorsed at all times, you know.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that helped, again, carry me through. I'm sorry if you're hearing some Charles Grodin-esque speaking through clenched teeth from Feshy over here, but this fucking cat is driving me up a wall right now. Quiet all day, and when I need to do something, now he wants to play. Now he wants to bite all the fucking cords. Sorry.
No, Fesh. You tell this cat how it is. You lay into this feline.
Oh, I do too often. Feel bad every time, but I don't hit him or anything, but it's just like, you know, I yell and I feel like my dad and like an idiot. But you can't teach a cat fucking anything. So I'm just going to hold on to him for now, buddy.
Wowie, wowie. So yeah, 22-year-olds are bad.
Yeah.
But at the time, you're like, this is it. And I'm sure, yeah.
Right. So in the same way that I was like, Kevin Smith's a billionaire because he's made a movie. It's like, 22-year-olds are adults because they're over the age of 18. And that's it. You figure it out after that.
Yeah. The idea of like, what's a job like? And whoa, you can just hang out and talk about what? Again, everything life ahead is just such a hypothetical mystery, you know?
Yes.
And so we open on Dante's apartment, our hero, played by Brian O'Halloran.
Yes.
Who will be, we'll see him again, don't you
worry. Oh, I think we haven't seen the last of good old Brandon O'Halloran.
He's gone, but not forgotten, folks. We'll be talking his name.
Not gone. He's in every one of these movies, I think.
I was thinking of Miss Cleo, who died in 2016. That's right. Brian O'Halloran did not die in 2016.
Yeah.
So Dante, he's asleep. He gets a phone call from his boss. From the boss.
The boss wants him to come into work today. And he's like,
you want me to come in? It's my day off.
And here's the thing. That sucks when that happens. And in certain jobs, shitty jobs, shittier jobs, jobs I've had, jobs I'm sure you've had, JZT, and jobs I'm sure the listeners have had, you have to have a dialogue with some guy to explain why you can't come in. And that sucks. You shouldn't have to do that.
Oh, when I worked at a restaurant with all these fucking actors and their priorities took precedent over my priority, which was drinking. You know, that was my number one goal.
22-year-olds are cool people.
And, but every now and then, oh, I had a hot date lined up. Or, oh, I had a funny improv show planned. And then I get the text, Gilbert has an audition. Can you come in? And I say, no, I can't. Oh, well, Gilbert said you could, and now if you don't show up, you're in trouble. Okay. Yep. Thanks, Gilbert.
Yeah.
I don't hope you're well.
Now, has Gilbert popped up in any Geico commercials or how would I know Gilbert?
Gilbert, fun story. Gilbert developed some kind of like gallbladder, went to the hospital and lost like 50, was already skinny, lost an insane amount of weight due to like some kind of strange infection that like a kidney thing or a gallbladder or maybe a appendicitis or something, lost 50 pounds and then booked a gig on a CBS show.
There you as, go. Blue Bloods like, diet, or...
something like that, booked a part of like, or like a hospital, one of those hospital shows. Three rivers, part of like dying patient. Yeah. So, way to go, Gilbert. Gilbert, you're a good worker, but you're kind of a dick to me. So, I will not give you your flowers.
And that,
but I don't hate you. You're
these movies tap into is we all have this. And it starts off in a pretty weird example of that, which is a kid order. Okay. So, they work at essentially a corner store, a bodega kind of place in Jersey that almost exclusively sells cigarettes. People only stop in this place to buy a pack of cigarettes. Maybe a newspaper, and then that's about it. So this kid tries to buy cigarettes, but then a guy next to him gives him a big old lecture as to why he shouldn't. And it's, I don't know, that was funny. It was nice, but it was just like, oh, instantly the relatability is kind of gone here. Like, I have not been in a situation where two guests... Our customers are arguing with one another, and one gives practically a PowerPoint about the dangers of smoking. Pretty quickly loses it. Yeah.
The closest I can come to that is one day on like an insanely busy brunch when I worked at Eataly.
Mm-hmm.
Super crowded, super chaotic. A 6-year-old girl is running around. She slipped on the ground and hit her head on a chair. An adult woman turns to me and says, she needs an ice pack. Get her an ice pack. And I'm like, I'm recognizing, like, oh, this is an emergency. I go to my fucking manager and say, hey, like, this happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're in charge. Where do we find, like, a Ziploc bag of ice? And she just goes, huh, yeah, I don't know, and walks away. And I'm looking around for Ziploc bags. Can't find any. Don't know what to do. also panicking because, you know, it's kind of an emergency, kind of a time sensitive. Yeah. I come back. It's like, I'm so sorry. I don't know. All of a sudden, multiple other guests have now turned on me and made me the bad guy.
Right.
And they're pointing fingers like, how dare you? This is on you to fix. Shame. And I was just like,
So again, that's why I this movie, I think, does underline a notion of like, but you're the guy behind the counter. So, and it's just like, yeah, I'm some fucking guy. Like, what yeah. do you expect from me? I don't know. I'm also coming off of a pretty bad interaction with somebody a few weeks ago that I don't need to fully get into right now. And I don't, you know, but basically an impossible situation where I just had to just. We are working on the problem. Please stand by. We are working on the problem. Please stand by. We have done everything that we can do. Please stand by. Like, there's nothing else I can give you. It is 2 a.m. Go to bed.
Like, kind Vesh, of can I tell you what I'm... Oh, yes, yeah. Sir. Love to tell you what I'm preemptively nervous about tomorrow. Getting screamed at by a man from San Jose who drove down to buy a bouncy castle.
You're going to have to tell me more. I apologize, but you're going to have to tell me more.
One of my responsibilities at my job is reselling stuff we buy for projects and don't need on, you know, websites that resell things on the lowdown. I agree. At one point, we had a bouncy castle, and I posted it on the internet.
Oh no, I'm getting anxious, JZT.
The first man who agreed to it, I said yes, and then he's coming from San Jose, which is 7 hours away from Los Angeles, California. And far too late into it, I found out, I was told we have this bouncy castle still, right? All of a sudden on Wednesday, I asked the person who should know, like, where is it? They go, oh, I don't know. So then it's like, so we don't know. So then I told this man, hey, just so you know, we can't confirm it's here or not. If you want to back out. He did not want to back out. He doubled down on harassing me over message. We did find it.
At least it's over message. Yes. Not to belittle what you're going through, but just it could
be. No, yeah, yeah. Now, the big mistake is I did give him his address, so I can't block him anymore. But, but you know, we found it. I then found out it hadn't been touched in 3 years. It's covered in dirt. It took three guys to unfold it and blow it up just to make sure it worked. We were all covered in dirt and soot. It does work.
Oh, thank God. All right.
He then asked me if he could unload it and inflate it on his own when he got here. And I said, absolutely not. He said, why not? And I said, we are a full functioning warehouse and we cannot guarantee that we have the time and space to accommodate that. He said, oh, okay, gotcha.
Okay, so it's all going good.
It's all going good up until it's a nightmare. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yes, it's on track to, yes. It's a lesson, you know, we have, that's what these jobs are all about. You just make mistakes and go, well, hopefully in the future I remember this and can avoid this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what the moments that I actually have, it's been nice and I am thankful for. But then you remember, you're a person who's supposed to live a life outside of a job, and I would like for that growth to be happening instead of the one where I'm behind the counter. But sure. It's good.
So now, with this movie, did you have more thoughts to say, Fesh?
Oh, I was just going to go back to that scene, because I think the rug pull at the end of the scene is that the guy represents the gum company and is just trying to stop people from smoking so that he could sell more gum. It's pretty funny.
Very funny.
Pretty funny.
Very good bit. I guess, yeah, do we want it? It's a hard movie to go see.
The hangout movie. Point, this is talking about hangout movies, dude. These are hangout movies.
That's right. So then kind of
we could go beat by beat, because that was what? Villain? What was the first one? Vilification? and the next one is Jay and Silent Bob. And we're introduced to, you know him, you love him, Bluntman and Chronic themselves. It's Jay and Silent Bob.
Jay and Silent Bob.
There's drug dealers hang outside.
And played by Jason Mewes and the director himself, Kevin Smith. Yeah. Which I don't even know. It's a funny story. Originally, Kevin Smith wanted to play Randall, which he says is why Randall has the funniest jokes.
Makes sense.
And then at some point, someone was like, this is going to be a logistical nightmare and you shouldn't do that. But he said, well, if I'm going to spend this much fucking money on a movie. I want my face in there. So at least, it's a pretty funny joke, I think, in an evening with Kevin Spacey says, so at least 20 years from now, when I'm hanging out with my friends, I go, hey, want to see that like huge mistake I made? Remember when I like wasted all that money and I'm forever in debt? Yeah, that's me. See? So at least I can be in it. Like, yeah,
well, he is on the cover still, out and not in Silent Bob Kimmick. He's just... he's got like weirdly flat hair and he's just hanging out on the cover. Paul Rust always likes to point out that one of the DVD releases of Angus is just a picture of the three young principal actors and the director. It's like a weird like set yearbook photo kind of thing. That's the cover. The director is not in the movie.
That's so funny. Because that's just great. Like the level of like when I'm trying to promote a comedy show, it's like, I don't want to spend money today at photos taken. But I gotta have something, like,
right.
I guess I could use this photo of me and Fesh from a bar mitzvah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you get the point.
But that's, I don't know. But again, the shagginess, the hangoutness, the scrappy dog nature of this is the appeal, right? This is a very obvious first film in a lot of ways. But it is funny to be like, yeah, Dante and Randall are the main character of the show. Jay and Silent Bob are two guys who are in like accumulatively 3 minutes, and that's the franchise. We'll get to them later. But yeah, one of them has the same face as the director, so that explains why they take off. Now, I think that was another one of my walls to getting into these movies was I was just not on the same wavelength as the whole Jay and Silent Bob thing. And I think, again, it fell under, like, you know, he's throwing out homophobic slurs. He's very interested in stuff that I'm not interested in, and blah, blah, blah. And I think just the older I get with it, I'm just kind of like, yeah, let the boy have fun.
Like, yes.
He's funny. And it is a character to a degree, too. It's not.
Yes. Well, it's interesting. Yeah. You raise a good point. You remind me that, like, I was aware of Jay and Silent Bob before I was aware of Clerks. Like, so I was like probably like 8 or 9, maybe I think from like toy magazines I had or something. Sure, but also like they scared me. Like not like in their like murderers or horrifying, but in like a those are bad men kind of way. As a very puritanical child, like oh no, there's something devious about these men.
It's one thing to like say the F word or to joke about drugs, but to have a pot leaf on your hat, that's a bridge too far. I don't know.
Fesh, but, were you scared of drugs as a child? Were you a big dare person?
I remember Riley talking to me a while ago about, like, you know, I still have never drank, I still have never done any drugs, and one of the things was like, in a lot of the propaganda we show kids to make sure they don't do those things, they like to do the method of like it shows a cartoon or a video of a kid doing those things, and at first they're like, this is great, and then it's getting bad. And I was scared of the first part. Like, I don't need to be riding a unicorn and like doing whatever is the set like that. Never. I was already just like, nope. Yep. Sounds bad to me before the crash. And that's just the attitude I've always had. So in terms of like scared, yeah, I do remember like watching my brother be from afar, be offered a cigarette and seeing him refuse it. And, you know, I would have been 8 and he was like 14, and being like, way to go, Brian. Like, he said no. You're supposed to say no. That's good. And then my heart dropped when I find out that he did end up doing it eventually. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird fear. I wouldn't say it is ultimately fear, but it wasn't, like you said, it's not fear. It's just like, huh?
Yeah.
The world can be ugly? Like, you know? I certainly... Yeah, if a Jay and Silent Bob like figure were in my sphere, I would definitely want to get out of there as a kid. Whereas now, I'd be like, these aren't my favorite people to talk to, but the person whose birthday party I'm at, you can't talk to them. You have to talk to their friends. So, yeah, this will be a fun hour, and then I'll go. You know?
Let me find out what this interesting character is like.
Yeah, what's your favorite movie, Jay?
My favorite now, movie?
Spoiler. Oh, yeah. Right, I don't know what his favorite movie is, but it is canon. It's brought up twice in two different movies, not in this one, but that Jay has seen the movie The Piano. So, you know, you can't put everybody in a box.
Wow.
We'll explore it when they come up, but he references The Piano twice in two different movies.
Shout out Gene Campion.
Yes. But yeah, I was also, as I texted you off, you know, pod, I was just to have one of those things to throw on in the background. I was going through the old VH1 I Love Those as a weird, already secondhand nostalgia. Now I'm feeling nostalgia for somebody else's nostalgia, weird Ouroboros. But I threw this on, and I Love the 90s, Jay and Silent Bob, in both version of it, had their own little segment. And the first one was, they like Jay and Silent Bob rename your favorite TV show of 1994, and it's just Jay riffing on, you know, basically explaining the premise in only a way that Jay can, right?
Yeah.
And then in the second one is it's guys we'd go gay for. And again, it was like, oh, I think when I first saw Clerks, I was like, you know, 16 or whatever. And I was like, oh, this is just homophobic. And again, they're using homophobic terms, but it's like it was made in 1994. So, yeah, there probably was at least gay panic going on, if not outright homophobia. But, like, I don't know. It is – when you hear Kevin talk out of – talk at all, he is still of, like, a generation – where, like, tricking your friend into saying he would eat somebody's ass is, like, funny. But I kid. There's nothing wrong with that kind of
yes, yeah. energy.
And well,
yes.
Go ahead.
He does have a gay brother, and he sees, yeah. And so I'm sure he also probably thinks, well, I can make these jokes. You know, my brother's gay, and I love him. Yeah. I love your brother, but yeah.
Yeah. But it definitely, again, some of it, oh, there's plenty in this movie and plenty to come where it's like, oh, that joke sucks and I hate it and I don't want this in it at all. But it used to be, I think, a thing where one joke could make me completely write off a movie.
Yes.
And I kind of anchored to that opinion.
Oh, sure, yeah.
For decades, being like, I don't like that movie because when I saw it when I was 16, they made one joke I didn't like and it colored the whole thing that way. And I go back and watch it and go, oh, that part sucks. But yeah. The rest of this is I can find something I like about this, and that, you know.
Well, that's interesting too, because I've been thinking about lately. So, like, I love Blink-182 and I love Weezer. And it felt like 10 years ago, starting 10 years ago, let's say, there was, you know, a cultural thing of like, wait a minute, some of these lyrics are very misogynistic, and it was almost like, well, burn it all to the ground. And now there's this new crop of Gen Z kids who are like, oh yeah, that's fucked up. Whatever, it's cool though. Like, they are able to go, oh, that part of it's fucked up and weird. The other part's fun though, you know? And like,
sure.
Which is also, but then of course, you know, then it's like, well, what is one of the most Birth of a Nation films that was influential?
Yeah.
And for so long in film schools and film historians were like, well, it's bad that the KKK are the heroes, but you have to accept that, like, you know.
From a historical context.
And technically wise, this was innovative in film and influential. Right. And
right. You know. What we like about Birth of the Nation is the moving images.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's what we're taking from it, not the hey. Yeah. Yeah, it's... But I think what is entrancing about these movies is that I'm liking them warts and all. It like you said, it's like these guys are assholes, but at the same time, I can still relate to the parts that I need to relate to and be like, yeah, dude, I'm with you there.
Yeah.
And we'll get to this in our next episode, but Brody, holy moly, I rewatched that one recently, and holy moly, he's like a caricature of like somebody making fun of toxic, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody writing about their ex-boyfriend and how shitty he was. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know that he's necessarily supposed to be a hero. Like, but when you're 13 and you don't, it's like, he likes comic books and Sega. Like, that's me, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I rewatched, I got the 4K era. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
We'll get into it, folks. This ain't the Mallrats episode. This is Clerks.
Clerks.
But yeah, I did want to dive into, I think there's, okay. I want to dive into a pool fashion.
There's too much to get into. Okay.
Too much to get, but let's start with, I think, because we're kind of segueing into it, and sort of the dating aspect, Dante's relationship with women aspect.
Okay. Well,
because,
again, I don't want to jump ahead, but Clerks 2 is fucking weird when it comes to that.
Oh, I can't, because I know, well, yeah.
Yeah.
So in this movie, Dante has a girlfriend, Veronica.
A very Jersey girl, call forward.
Wears a blazer, a button-up shirt. Yeah.
Speaks with the accent. But I think, I don't know, she seems cool.
She seems cool. Yeah. I do not, why the movie wants you to be like, not fuck her, but like, you know, she's a...
But again, I don't know that the movie does. I think Dante is meant to be wrong here.
Now, again, the... Caitlin, his ex-girlfriend, who he dated in high school, he still harbors feelings for Pines.
And they have been hanging out on the phone, which is something you used to do, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to be an old man yelling at a cloud here, but you used to have to call your friends and talk to them. You don't have to do it anymore. Instead, you start podcasts.
That's right.
But yeah, he's got a wandering eye, this Dante, and a lot of regrets, it seems.
Now, he also, prior to this film, I don't think we know if he has any issues with Veronica, his current girlfriend. But in their first big scene together, she reveals that she's slept
with... She asks him.
Yes.
She asks him how many he has slept with. 12.
12.
And she says it's a lot.
It's a lot.
He asks her. She says 3, including him. So it's only 2 before him. Which is... a fourth of the amount of men, right? That's
right.
That's less. And then some weird Jersey guy walks in who's just not with it, man. He's zoning.
Oh, hey. Oh, Veronica, I know you. Yeah. Oh, wow. What are you doing? Okay, bye.
Bye. And that guy was named Snowball.
Snowball.
Why was he named Snowball? Because he likes it. And this guy likes it. And again, this falls under the category of thing where it's like, you know, Superbad is what, 15 years old at this point? Like, this isn't that crazy or shocking anymore. But like, at the time, it's like, they're talking about the screen. He likes to get blown. And then when he finishes, he likes it when the woman spits the cum back into his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's called snowballing.
It's called snowballing, folks. And Dante is gross, disgusted, outraged.
Yes, I can't believe your female friend, who's a mutual friend of all you guys, knows this. I can't believe she blew that guy. And Ronnie says, no. I blew him. You blew him? You blew that guy?
Outrage, fury.
Now, again, this is crazy heightened, and it's you know, sexual politics are out of date and all that stuff. But the back and forth to me does read accurate of when you're dating, talking about similar topics of just like, I don't know. It just read, ow, sorry, my cat is, oh my God. Ow, you.
Ooh, fish is hurting.
I mean, turning me over here, man. The Batman villain who has a lot of scars on him because he keeps clawing and biting at me. And he's biting me currently. I'm holding him up and his teeth are in my hand. Bobo Beanie. Anyway, sorry.
Folks, you can't teach a cat.
You can't teach. He's also very young, so even if you can, it's too early. But yeah, it does read accurate of when you're discussing these kind of things. Now, are they arguing a little less jokingly than I would with my partner? Absolutely. But does that play into the fact that maybe he's already, for whatever reason, wanting to be with Gatlin instead of her? I think it does. We don't know that at the point in this movie.
Yes.
I think it's a little bit of foreshadowing.
Well, and I think, you know, not to jump ahead, but when you, so much of chasing Amy comes down to this relationship is doomed by this male, this guy's inability to accept his own insecurity that he's less sexually experienced than the girl he's dating.
Right.
And this is like a tinier
opposite problem in Clerks, because he asks her, "But wait, you said you only had sex with two other guys. You didn't mention Snowball." She's like, "Well, I didn't have sex with him. I blew it."
Mm-hmm.
And how many people, JZT, did she blow?
37 guys.
Including Dante. That's including Dante. That's 36 before Dante. Now, there's something about the tenor of this dialogue that is like, this is, what, 2 years before Scream? There's something about where it's like, these people are not the smartest people in the world, but they're speaking in a way and with a vocabulary and cadence that is a little above their pay grade.
It's above their pay grade. Yeah.
I don't mean they're literal, like, just because they're clerks, but I mean just like, they seem dumb, but they're saying dumb things in a smart way.
It also feels like the act, I think it's a two-pronged thing of like, these actors are not great.
Yeah, not the strongest performers, yes.
Also, this writing is not great.
Right, it's overly written, yeah.
Yeah, it feels too written, and, you know, maybe that's its own language in its own way. Like Man.
Right, doesn't say, it feels like the Kevin Williamson thing. It feels like we're not purporting that these high school students are actually high school students.
Right,
no one would say that, but yeah.
I think for me, the most egregious sentence an actor is forced to say is the woman, short role was like, talking about the stockbroker, the guidance counselor who goes crazy. She goes, can you believe that? It's important to have a job you are passionate about, guys, which is why I get paid to artificially masturbate animals at a zoo. It's just like, who would say that?
Right.
Who would share that?
Right.
Use all those big words. Like, you just find this funny and, you know.
Yeah. What, you're right. It's the magic of discovery of like, oh, when I type it, they say it.
Yes. Yeah.
I can type whatever I want and they will say it.
Aren't I so
have
cool.
such power, you know.
And you just, again, you just know him ready to go, this is going to fucking kill.
Yeah. I mean, he's right. It's a cult classic forever and it's, you know.
That's right, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, but Randall, it works more with for me because he seems like the kind of guy who would put on those airs.
Yes.
To phrase things in such laborious way just to get a point across that he's calling you an asshole or a snob or whatever.
Well, and he seems more sarcastic, more like funny, more like witty, probably smarter than Dante, but like no ambition. Right. Also is the Kevin Smith and like very much as much him, you know. And I think Dante looks like he writes poetry. Like he thinks he's so deep emotionally, you know.
I mean, he has a Van Dyke, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And is wearing a sweater when he changes to go out on the date later. He changes into a sweater, which I thought was an interesting choice.
Another insane thing is that when Caitlin does show up, she's very open to talk about her sex life to Randall, like her ex-boyfriend's dick friend who sucks, and she knows sucks, but hey, you know.
Well, you're starting to sound like that one customer who says, I'm offended. You guys are talking about such gross things in public.
Yes, Fesh, this movie offended me deeply.
Well, maybe this will offend you. I'm holding up a picture of a woman fingering her. I was going to say wang.
What?
Fingering her. That
wet ass pussy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I bet. It's weird because. Yeah, all of the performance and most of the dialogue is not necessarily realistic, but it still feels real.
Yeah.
On the whole.
Oh, yeah.
Which, well, I think this is the only one I would say that about. Pretty soon after, Mallrats becomes like a regular, you know, movie after this.
Yeah, well, and you know what I think is interesting,
not quite Mumblecore either, but... Yeah.
No, but there is something about the black and white footage and the way it's shot, where I know he's not a great visual director, Kevin Smith, but like something about this is like, it's almost like with the limitations of the look of it, it like elevates it in ways that the rest of his movies don't, and it just captures something where It does just, yeah, he has that feeling. Whoa.
Yeah. Whereas the rest of his movies start to get in that, like, you're like half a notch above Disney Channel original.
Yes,
movie.
Yeah.
Like, it is above, but it's not. Yeah.
Well, yeah. In rewatching what I rewatched of Mallrats, as someone who has went to film school, like studied directing, gotten notes, like, how do you make this more visual, JZT? And I'm like, what? Fuck you. What? No. Just let them be. And then it's like, with all that baggage of watching Mallrats, it's like, wait, dude, no, this is inexcusable. You can't just. And he's like, you can't just have five people in a frame and that's it. Like, you got to have coverage. And that's lazier than Disney Channel, you know? It's like,
I guess I just mean, like, lens quality. There's something about these movies that look, these later movies that look, again, better, but not studio better, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, like, I like the guidance counselor scene, though, because, I don't know, it feels like one of the thesis statement moments is, yeah, he's got a useless job. He's telling teenagers what they should do with his with their lives. That's, like, the most pointless job you could have. Like, the platonic ideal of the job in a perfect world could be noble, could be interesting, but no, it's in practicality, it's never really going to amount to much to tell a teenager what career path they should go into, especially from the perspective of the titular clerks who are sitting there going, what did he ever do for us? We're here. And again, I'm not making any bones about it. I relate to these guys, man. I get it. Like, I feel like this last year it's been rough, and I've been really vibing with. I was, initially calling them losers. I'm gonna soften a little bit to go slackers. I love slackers. Wayne, Garth, Bill, Ted. Randall, Dante, there's something to it that is just like, and Clerks 2 really hits this point where it's just like, and this is something I came up separate of all of these movies, but I think they all kind of hit the same point of having ambition is a capitalist concept. Like, in this modern world, like, we do not need to want for anything anymore. Like, contributing in the traditional sense is not, there's no part for me to do anymore besides put pockets in somebody else's money at this point, with my credibility, with my credentials. I mean, I'm not speaking for the universal. I'm speaking for myself, but like, you have to want to be something more than what you are. And that includes even after success, you're supposed to still want more and more. And the joke you said earlier of like, what, you're supposed to turn that money into investments, where I'm just like, and I see it as like a pretty optimistic and positive outlook of like, no, this is enough. I like this is cool, this is good. To want for more is because I need to want to put in work that helps other people make money and then get money to buy things to give other people money who are not, necessarily the best people. So,
I just want to take a stance for the podcast. We firmly believe in trickle-down economics. We think it's the only economic system that makes sense.
I'm not even putting the system on trial or saying that there should be a better system. I ultimately think there should, but like, all I'm saying is the fact that I have to think about the system is fucking stupid, and I just want to hang out. And I know everybody does, but it's like, but you also have sports, and you also have your poetry, and you also have whatever job you have that you like. Like, I there's something I have fallen in love with the guys who it's like, well, I like music, but it was never going to become a musician. That's who I'm vibing with lately. And I think the next time that I watch High Fidelity, I'm going to go insane. But to sort of circle back, when we were talking about the side tracks we might take with this pod if we want to, there are things I don't know that this movie or Kevin are directly responsible for, but But High Fidelity does feel like this doesn't happen if not for Clerks. Like, the book happened regardless, but, like, the movie might not happen if not for Clerks. It's a very Clerks-adjacent project.
Oh, totally, yeah.
It influences such a vague concept, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, Clerks feels more like it's on... Or, I'm sorry, High Fidelity feels more like it's on the Kevin Smith track than, say, a Quentin Tarantino, which is still...
Yeah, oh, sure.
You know, they're similar guys, but they're sidetracked dialogue talking about pop culture. But the fact that it's literally about a place that sells media and talks about media versus, in, you know, weirdly, the Marvel movies. I watched, they made the new, there's a Twisted Metal show now.
That's right.
And I threw that on this morning, and it's fine, but one thing that really... I don't know. There's a lot, actually. It is ultimately fine, but it's still, there's a lot that rubs me the wrong way. But one of them is, it's like Samoa Joe's beating up Falcon, and he's just dropping in facts about the singer Sisko throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's just in place of a joke. We can just do that now, and people love it. And that is, I think, maybe not born here, but this was a big patient zero for that kind of stuff, man. Mm-hmm. But that was, geez, this is almost 30 years ago, so maybe we can fucking... I don't know.
I didn't want... Yeah, so I mentioned earlier, I think Randall's evil and bad and a terrible person. But I love... One thing really surprised me coming through is, at the end, Dante is bitching and moaning, and Randall lays into him in a way I love. Where he's like, so then quit. And Dante goes, no, I can't. And he's like, hey, man, I don't make any bones about what I want in life. Yeah, I know I could do better. I don't want to do better. This suits me right now, John. You
are
letting... Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, yeah. And he was like, hey, like, you do all these things. You're I think, too, he's like, you think you're so much better than me. You think I'm, like, a lazy loser. But, like, we're the same. Like, we both are here. We're both not moving on. We're choosing not to change.
One of us is pretending and one of us isn't.
That's, and it reminds me that I had on the last day I got drunk, God willing or whatever, on April 21st, 2019, I worked brunch, you know, from 10 till 3 or whatever. And then I went and hung out with a coworker, two coworkers, and one had to leave. And the one who stuck around, this cool coworker, Katie, who I like always liked and got along with, but we never really talked much, you know. And then we got drunk and it was fun and nice, you know. And I like realized, oh, she's like really cool and I like her and we could be friends, you know. And I just remember her being like, yeah, wait, we are waiters. We are waiting. This is a job for people who are waiting for something else to happen, you know. And for whatever reason, it just really hit me. I was like, oh, yeah. And I somehow was like, yeah, I've just been waiting here and I've been not, you know, changing or pursuing anything. And it's not entirely why I decided the next day to not drink anymore. It's also because I kept drinking and felt horrible and wanted to die as I had felt for many days. But there's something to that I forget. I was watching this made me remember that part of it, which I kind of had forgotten about, you know. Because ultimately then that next day I had to work and I was so painfully drunk and hungover.
Yeah.
And my friend was having a going away party that night and I was supposed to do a double the next day.
Woof, my goodness.
And I was sitting there in pain, folding napkins at the end of a shift, like feeling like death. And all these coworkers would come by one at a time and I'd be like, Hey, can you cover either my lunch or my dinner tomorrow? Thinking, like, if I get one of these covered, I can make it work. You know, I can go out and drink tonight, and either I sleep in, that's ideal, or, well, I can just power through a slow lunch. Right. And then everyone, one by one, was like, well, I have, like, my acting class, but you've always been good about covering for me. What do you need this off for? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I want to go get drunk tonight. And then they leave. And then another one's like, hey, could you? And it's like, it's truly my higher power moment where I was like, this is my priority in life is drinking, you know, and it's like, oh,
I'm torn because again, I'm a person who hasn't ever drank. So again, I guess I'm replacing the specific.
Sure. Yeah.
But like, I guess I understand the letter of the law here. What we're saying is that they had, again, ambition, and they deserved that night off to go try to achieve something, whereas you wanted it just to go have fun. And I'm like, yeah, but you deserve to go have fun. Like, I get that you were scheduled and they weren't, so that changes things. But it's just like, I don't know. I hate the nobility of like, well, I wanted to have the night off so I could go maybe have a chance to never have to work this job again by getting a movie role that would pay enough or whatever. Like, I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
It's, again, I'm happy it led to.
Oh, yeah. Know, well, you know,
self-reflection and all of that. But I don't know. I'm very much team. Anybody should be allowed to get off work for whatever reason, any damn hell reason they want.
Oh, sure. You know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, that what you hit on is the secret sauce to the character of Dante is he is, an asshole and he is caustic and crass, but,
Dante or Randall you talk, or
Randall. Sorry. Yeah. Did I say Dante?
Oh, you said Dante. Yeah.
Okay. Randall. Sorry. He's all those things, but he's also like, well, yeah, never said I wasn't. And I'm not trying to trick anybody into anything. I'm just, he's waiting, right? He's just waiting.
And I think too, Dante is, I think he's very stuck in his woe is me, you know, but he's afraid, you know, he's fear-based, you know, he's like, well, there's some convenience to, well, I'm just angry, but it's like, oh, but like, what if I were to, what do I, you know, go for and why? And
right. And, the example he gives is when he was a little kid, the toilet seat was closed, so he shit his pants.
Yes, yeah.
And instead of, you know, putting in a little work or trying, he'd rather it go wrong and complain. And, you know, guilty as charged sometimes. I understand that. But at the same time, JZT.
Yes, Fesh.
You can say all of that about him. You can say that they're bad characters. He was not supposed to be there that day.
No. He wasn't even supposed to. He had plans to play hockey.
And then you see the hockey game. It's a fucking street game with four people. Like, yeah. Why was it scheduled for 2:00? What difference did it make? Just whenever you can get here, we'll bat a ball around. They weren't even wearing rollerblades. They're just running.
Does Dante even seem like someone who gives a shit about hockey?
Well, maybe that's an acting problem. Maybe it's an acting problem. But to me, and I'm way off base here, I know. But to me, and then maybe it's because of Kevin Smith, I'm under the belief that by being from New Jersey, you care about hockey.
Yeah.
I don't, like, that just makes sense to me. It's like, yeah, you're a guy from New Jersey, so you wear hockey jerseys as clothes? Yes. Okay.
That's right. Oh, yeah. We'll have to get a real Jersey person on this podcast for the Jersey take.
Yeah. But yeah.
And hey, maybe we can get a Jersey girl on the pod.
Yeah.
Oh, woo, woo, woo.
You like, right? I have not seen yet.
No.
Oh. Okay.
I think there's parts I like about it. And then the Chasing Amy fan of me was like, cool. And then it's like, whoa, there are insane choices in it. Yeah.
Okay.
But we'll get into it.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've still not seen that one. Clerks 3 or... Wait, that might be it. I mean, are we doing Jay and Silent Bob's groovy cartoon movie?
Is that the NFT?
No, that's... Yeah, the NFT one is something like Lister was here or something. That one I don't think we literally can do. It's unless we spend a lot of money to buy it. We don't have to. I'm just
leaning towards. I'm curious about this super groovy cartoon movie.
Then let's do it. So I haven't seen that one or Jersey Girl. I think that might be in Clerks 3. I think that might be it. Yeah. And hopefully, Moose Jaws happens by the time. We get there. It's a movie that I believe Angermeyer brought up to me as a thing that he never did. And ever since I heard about it, I was like, oh, that's funny. He should do that. And then I'm on his Wikipedia. It's still there. which is it's Jaws, but it's in a snowy town, and it's a moose instead of a shark. It's called Moose Jaws. And I'm like, yeah, sounds good. I'll be there. So we'll see.
Oh, sorry. Yes, that sounds great. Also, just learned Kilroy Was Here is the name of the Kevin Smith that was released via NFT minting platform Legendao. Legend with an A-O at the end.
Legendo.
Wow.
And Chris Jericho's in it.
Chris Jericho's in it.
Yep.
That's right. And so is Harley Quinn Smith.
Right. Oh, that was a thing I wanted to say up top. Yeah, everything is with the disclaimer. We're talking about a man who named his kid Harley Quinn. By the way, like, I have to say is, yeah, he also named his kid Harley Quinn. So, yeah, it's a wash.
This guy, yes. Wow.
You see, like, yeah. But he seems like a nice and chill dude. And
oh, yeah.
There's an earnestness to all of these works.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was blind to at the initial watch and am very fond of now.
Well, and too, we have to, for better or worse, this guy has always stayed true to his sensibilities.
Yes, exactly.
He so easily could have just caved and changed, you know, whatever. But this guy's like, no, he's staying true to what his beliefs, you know, what he thinks is the most fun.
Yeah.
Whether he thinks he's
following his bliss.
He's following his bliss. Yes. Which is a great thing to do in life, which is something I'm trying to do, is follow my bliss.
Oh. That's very daring, JZT.
Yes. I think, honestly, Fesh.
Yeah.
Jumping out of a plane, that's not daring. Skydiving, bungee jumping, that's not daring.
No.
Being unafraid to be blissful and follow that bliss is as fucking daring as you can do in this capitalist society. In this...
You rolled your eyes at me when I brought up capitalism earlier!
Yes. But now I see, Fesh. Now I see.
Now you see. Now you see.
Suddenly I see. Music.
The big part that needs to be cut out is the dead guy. That part.
Yeah. That sucks. It's not funny.
No.
It's like shocking. Is it rape? It's it's not.
Whatever about the circumstances, but it's one of those things of like, is it cool just to put your character through that in a movie?
Yeah,
just to do it, like,
yeah,
no, it's not cool to do that.
What plot does it service? Like, it separates him and his ex-girlfriend. It prevents him from, you know, moving further with her. But like, they're, you know. There are ways to do that don't traumatize a girl,
right?
You know, or you know, and woman.
Yes, but that's also a thread that I do think early aughts secret stash esque movies like go down is like what? That's kind of like what are those guys' names? The brothers, the Farleys,
mm-hmm.
where it's like that's the most Farley moment of there. But it's like, what if the Farleys were actually dark? And it's like, well,
yes,
it would be unpleasant. It'd be very, very unpleasant.
Yeah,
no, thank you. Yeah, that part is a bummer. But, we don't like that part.
We don't like that part. The old man dying is funny to me. Him, or not him dying, but, like, the way he is able to argue his way into, let me use the employee bathroom.
That scene's good. That scene is good.
In there, which good. Also is such a relatable thing of, like, I don't know, this old crazy man is so, he won't quit. Like, he's gonna win. Right. Like, I don't have the energy to.
And why should fighting. I stop him? Again, when you're like, I'm just some fucking guy. Randall does have some line. It's like, it's the balance between, like, me caring about. I don't remember the line enough. But he basically just talks about, it's like, I'm at the whim of a manager and the fact that I don't care about this job. So what can I do? You know? Like,
yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, why should I really put my neck out to stop this guy from drinking out? It's about the light. The light turns off every day at 5:14 and nobody knows why. which I like. Again, it leads to some terrible things, but that's a funny justification. Just yeah. Like, I don't know. It just does. And the manager doesn't want to fix it. What am I supposed to do about it? Like, that's the manager's job.
If I could get the work printer to print from tray one, one day exactly. You can stop printing out of tray one from that.
Yeah, what can you do?
I Googled it for a half hour.
Yeah.
I asked that's higher ups and they said, I don't know.
Yeah, half an hour is more than it deserves for it, from you. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm.
We should start to wrap up. Any closing thoughts on this, Fesh?
Again, it's all everything spiderwebs off into a bunch of different things from I think all of these movies for me. That means we can circle back to them pretty much at any point throughout the canon here, up until he decides to get out of this view of Skewiverse. But it's an interesting movie that, like, again, it's I don't want to say urtext or primordial, but it is like the beginning of something, and what I like about that is how simple it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the worst parts of this movie are when it becomes plotty and complex.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And like, yeah, the hangout, I think, is the bliss that he learns that he needs to kind of follow. Now, the next one is there's a lot more of a three act structure to this next one, but it almost feels secondary, where it's like, all right, now it's kind of how our scripts used to be, where it's like, we're setting this all up, but it only matters when we pay it off. In the it almost like the Wayne's World, like guys carrying the glass back and forth.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the watermelons. It's like, this is only here because we need to do the segment at the end. It's not really important to why you're watching it for the first hour, you know.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's yeah, like I said pretty early, not my favorite, but I do respect the hell out of it way more than I did before, and I understand I'm coming in with a rubber band effect bias. But like you said, that's just now. That was then. This is now. We'll have to see
forever. Then. Now. Forever.
How about you? Do you have any final thoughts, JCT?
You know what? I'm pumped for this podcast. That's about all I have to say, you know. I feel like an insane person. I'm like, this is more visually interesting than I remembered or expected it to be. I hated some of these characters as people, but then also appreciated, like, well, it's a fascinating film, and yeah, the influence is great, and that's about it. Yeah, very excited to embark on this journey. And yeah.
Do we want to do a box office game? I mean, I wasn't gonna say anything.
I don't think I have the time, Fesh. I think I gotta run to something. We'll do one soon. Wait, okay, we'll do one
after
game.
Okay.
Top five most expensive cars.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
How about this, Fesh? Can you guess the top five most stressful life events?
Just like for anybody?
According to verywellmind.com.
Right, but just like generally for people?
Yes.
Death, moving. Got three more?
Yes.
Planning a wedding?
No. But the opposite of planning a wedding.
Having a wedding?
Instead of a union.
Oh, divorce.
That's
divorce,
right. What I would do to both of these employees if they were my,
firing.
Under me. Yeah.
Being fired or firing somebody?
Job loss, yeah.
Job loss.
And then.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, what's the fifth one?
Long-term illness.
Pretty stressful. Honestly, moving is stressful, but like, I think those other four are quite a different league.
Yeah, I'm just saying now, I'm good at moving. Everyone else needs to fucking grow up. It's not that hard. Just do it. Yeah. Just got to send the emails, pack up.
I don't even think I needed to send any emails.
You know, or just like call a mover, figure out how much a U-Haul costs.
Yeah, I'm not pretending it's not. I'm not going to say. You can say it if you need to, but I'm not saying it's not stressful, but just compared to death, long-term illness, divorce.
Yeah.
And
it's not stressful if you live in dumb piece of shit apartments where no one gives a fuck what you do or don't leave behind. You just disappear one day and they go, eh, whatever.
That's true. That's true too. Okay.
All right. Well,
what was the name of this podcast again?
Oh, folks, you have been listening to View.
Askew.
Bless you. Tune in next week for our Mallrats episode.
Snoochie Boochies.
Snoochie Boochies. And remember, independent cinema is a vital art form.
Saying like Snoochie Boochies, like it's good night and good luck is what I'm trying to crack.
Oh, that's a better sign.
And Snoochies and Boochies.
And folks, Snoochie Boochies.
Yeah, that's good.